guest today of Piano Jazz is pianist, arranger, composer John Harmon. His music ranges from tender ballads to orchestral works and choral pieces, often inspired by nature or Native American ideas, and I love all of them, John.
Well, I'm flattered and honored. Thank you.
Well, you do have some wonderful music, and I feel like a dummy by not knowing it was all out there for me to listen to.
Well, that's not your fault at all. I'll blame the publicist on that.
Yeah, as long as we don't blame ourselves.
That's right.
When we met, which was a few years ago in Birch Creek, and I think at that time you gave me this album called Rite of Passage. Mm-hmm. That whole record knocks me out. It was evidently an idea to have pictures of you at various stages and then music sort of to go with it, wasn't it?
Kind of that worked out that way, right. It's sort of...
So interesting, the little baby and then the little boy on his tricycle. And then you're the teenager playing piano.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start? I mean, did you start out playing as a kid? What happened?
Well, it was primarily my mother's influence. She played by ear. Her mother had been a music teacher, so she had a little background. She didn't read very well, but she could read. But she and I would sit at the piano, and she kind of taught me chords and things as a little youngster. And we'd work out tunes at the piano, and it kind of helped develop some sort of harmonic sense, because I could sort of, if I was familiar with the tune that we were trying to learn, I could kind of probe around, and between the two of us, we'd come up with harmonizations of, you know, old tunes that she was playing and that I would learn. But probably the biggest influence was my father, who was not a musician, had all these wonderful early recordings of pianists, starting with boogie-woogie people. He was fascinated by that. And so at a very tender age, I was banging out these eight-to-the-bar things, they used to call them.
Mead Lux Lewis?
Mm-hmm. Mead Lux Lewis, Albert Ammons, Pete Johnson, and Pine Top Smith, and Mary Lou Williams and stuff. And so I was getting acquainted, without knowing it, with, the blues form, for one thing. Secondly, he also he loved piano, so he had Duke Ellington, and he had Count Basie, and he had my hero, Teddy Wilson.
And my hero, too.
Yeah, he's been pretty influential on a lot of pianists. And, of course, then the ultimate king, he has some Art Tatum, which I wasn't quite ready for as a youngster, but I tried.
God, I don't think I was ever ready for him.
No.
I bought one of those books, actually, and tried to decipher it, but I gave up after 2 minutes.
I know. It's. I've seen some of those transcriptions. They're impossible for somebody like me.
They really are.
He certainly was a... we're still trying to sort out some of his harmonic concepts, you know. And I think he's, to some degree, I believe anyway, he was sort of dismissed as this freak because he was such a brilliant pianist, and he probably was best when he was all alone. So he didn't play with groups conventionally, normally.
No, he didn't. And actually, he would, when he played with the guitar player, he would kind of overplay. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't let the other guys play in there.
I know. He probably wasn't. So he's sort of been dismissed in that way. But just about every pianist I know has been powerfully influenced by his harmonic sense in particular. And he could swing, too, you know.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, Get Happy, I think, is one of the most brilliant solo piano pieces in terms of swinging and cool chords and great pianism and all that stuff.
I think I must have gone for that early one, that this one.
Oh, yeah, Humoresque.
It was in the Humoresque. It was in the... He had it in the right key and everything. And I remember I loved that. That, I think, was one of the first things I heard. Anyway, we ought to have a go at a duet, I think, John. What do you think?
I would be honored beyond words.
Well, please don't say things like that. I'll probably play a wrong note. Or
you don't have
bad
it in your
chords. I mean, bad chords. So, like, you picked a very nice tune, like Someone in Love. That's one of my favorites.
Okay.
So, shall we do that?
Sure.
Liner notes to your record, you say, special thanks to Oscar Peterson.
Oh, well, thank you for mentioning that. I actually studied with Oscar Peterson once.
Oh, did you really?
One summer. It was an incredible summer. There was an event back in the late 50s, 57, I believe, was the very first year of an event called the School of Jazz. And it was headed up by John Lewis of the Modern Jazz Quartet. He was the kind of dean of this school. And then the Oscar Peterson Trio was in residence, as well as Jimmy Giuffre, Max Roach, Dizzy Gillespie, I think Bill Russo was the arranger-composer, and Marshall Stearns was the historian. So they had an entire school situation in Lenox, Massachusetts, called the School of Jazz.
I remember that.
I was in the first year of that. And Oscar Peterson was, you'd either study, if you're a piano player, you either studied with Oscar or with John Lewis. And I got the lucky straw. I got Oscar Peterson. And I found him to be not only encouraging, but one of the best teachers. He's a very articulate, talk about generous. He's a generous, beautiful man. And I just was, that experience changed my life.
Well, what things would he talk about in the teaching capacity? I mean, like, don't play so many notes, that's what Duke said to me.
Yeah. Or well, he had similar things to say to me. I remember auditioning for him, and he said, you know, I was playing a kind of a counter line with my left hand, and he said, you know, you could probably support your playing a little better with a little more harmonic foundation rather than just single notes and this and that. So, and he was quite right. And then he told me immediately, he improved my playing by saying, you know, you're playing, the lines are okay, but they don't have any direction. They don't have any emphasis, no peaks, no valleys. It's all kind of flat. And so he demonstrated, you know, something like this. Now, you play it like this first. He said, that's kind of the way you'd play it, but if you want, you know,
where
you get a little emphasis
here.
And suddenly I swung better immediately, you know, but it just took that beautiful sense of his knowledge and he sort of troubleshot my problem immediately and fixed it. And then he helped me with my left hand, too, in other ways. He taught me to, especially when playing solo piano, that was the big thing with him. He said, if you can play with the rhythm section, that's great. But he said, if you can swing by yourself, that's the ultimate challenge for the pianist.
Boy, it is, too.
And so he had me do things like trade fours with my left hand and right hand. Well, it was hopeless at first, but, you know, he'd stumble along and the right hand would be okay, but the left hand would be hopelessly vacant. But in time, it got better and better. And then he had me do stretches to because he could reach a 12th on the piano. You know, he could go C to G. His hands were enormous.
Yeah.
You know, I can reach a 10th, okay.
I can't.
You're just like my mom. She'd have to roll it. You know, she'd go,
You know, oh, I can't bear to do that. I have to go somewhere else or use the other hand or something. I can't.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's fascinating. I think I'll do all those things you're telling me. I was just thinking, again, back to your record that I love so much, Rite of Passage. You've got a bunch of interesting tunes in there, but one of them really stuck out to me, Billy Sunday.
Well,
was that?
I was kind of experimenting with that middle pedal, which I don't even know what it's called on the piano. It's got this.
I don't know either.
It's got this capability of sustaining one or several notes that you kind of prearrange, and the rest of it is the rest of the keyboard is dampened. So it has this kind of bizarre capability, and I was just fooling around with it. And it the title actually emerged after the improvisation, because it's not really written out; it's just an improvised thing, and It reminded me of this early evangelist whose name was Billy Sunday, and he preached fire and brimstone, you know, and he pounded away with this sermonizing kind of thing. So this note G emerges that's being sustained throughout. So every time you hit it, it sustains while the rest of the notes are not. So
I was wondering how you did that, because I'm very ignorant using that pedal myself. So you found how to use it. Good.
Well, it kind of works. It sure is an interesting device.
Well, now I want to hear Billy Sunday, because
okay.
He really lay heavy on the middle pedal for that one.
Yeah, it's the sermon. You keep hearing this almost irritatingly.
It's a good sermon, and I need one all the time. This is perfect for me.
Well, I'm much in need of some guidance myself, so.
Hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast. Tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, Baldwin Piano Company, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.